don't tell the story, was different with me. God's plan. God's plan.
Hey guys, what is up? This is Rachel Kayleen with the Millennial Wave, and we are on episode 21, which is how old I am, and it's his favorite number. This is Prashant Singh. He is an entrepreneur out here in Sacramento. He's a coach for not only business, but also for sports, specifically football. And he's also a philanthropist, which we're really going to dive into because I'm big on nonprofits and charities. So I'm really excited to hear about the different things that you're working on this year. And also, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. We linked up a little while ago, but I've been watching from afar. So I'm now happy to be a part of everything you're doing.
Absolutely.
Especially the podcast, because you've had a lot of interesting people on.
Yeah, I would say that it's all, it's pretty diverse. I've noticed that a lot of people that have been coming on are in the sports world, which is really weird because, I mean, I didn't expect that, but when I did begin the podcast, I didn't have like, oh, this one specific type of person has to come on the podcast. It has to be this type of person only. And that, for me, that wasn't the case. It was more so, I believe the principles of success are the same, whether you're an athlete, an entrepreneur, an artist, whatever it is. The principles of success are the same.
Yep.
So if these people share that same, those same principles, I want to talk to those people.
Yeah.
I want to connect with those people. And I could only hope that the audience would want to connect with them as well and hear the different things that they've done to get to where they are. So also, I'm really excited to hear a little bit more about where you are currently in your life. Because when we first linked up, I think, I would honestly say like a year ago.
It was right around a year ago. Last year, like around February, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah, so.
It was a while ago. I met you up at Starbucks, and I remember reaching out to you. At that time, I was really just looking to connect with people in the area that were doing bigger and better things. And it's funny, because then I don't know if I mentioned that I was going to start a podcast. It was months before. I did?
You did.
Then I must have been thinking about it at that moment.
You were thinking about it then, and I could tell that you were very driven. You were more driven than I was at that age, like by far. And so, you know, when people say they're going to do something, you're just like, okay, cool, we'll see.
Yeah.
I kind of had a feeling that you would do this. Like,
like
you said it with like kind of this laser focus. So I do distinctly remember you saying that you're going to do a podcast and you're going to do all these things. And you've actually been doing all of them.
Yeah, no,
So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it takes a lot.
I appreciate it. And it kind of helped me like talking to you and the feeling that I get after talking to someone, whether it be on the podcast or just a coffee, sit down, whatever it is, the feeling that I get after is such a fulfilling feeling. And I just knew that other people need to hear what I'm hearing and they need to see what I'm seeing. So that's why I'm so excited to have you on, because you were the first person that I had met with based on like the Instagram, like reaching out and connecting. You were the first person. So it was that trickle effect from meeting with other people and just connecting with other entrepreneurs that helped me realize, okay, I really need to do this. I need to be able to get this out there in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's very cool. I did not know that that was the first one that you had met with. I actually still remember a lot of our conversation because I thought it was very beneficial for me personally. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that you learned a lot from it as well. But I learned a lot about myself in that conversation because I was kind of, rather than just speaking, I was also trying to be aware of, you know, how I interact and how I give advice. So you didn't know it at the time, but I was kind of self-analyzing. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we talked a lot about time and how to maximize it and use the most of it. And it was funny because we were following each other. At one point, I thought to myself, I was like, how is this girl finding all this time to do all these things? So that's how you know that you're really maximizing and you're being super efficient.
Yeah.
And I don't know, call it a little bit of ego or arrogance. I was like, hopefully it was my advice that kind of, you know, pushed you to do all that.
No, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like it's such a big mix of different mentors and entrepreneurs and leaders and visionaries. Mm-hmm. That have helped me and helped guide me into my own, if that makes sense. But I think it's so cool because, and I'm always curious because the questions that I ask are just getting people to think about their answers or think about really their life and where they're at and what they're doing.
Right.
It makes me think. I mean, I learn something new from every single speaker, but I can only imagine the type of things that are going through their head. Right. Like after they leave this building, they're probably like, damn, like, I need to switch something up. Or I really like that conversation. It helped me learn more about myself and what I'm really good at or maybe what I should change. So I'm always excited to talk to people. And I remember when we first did meet, I was so surprised because you don't really mention the type of businesses that you run on your social media. It's a lot of inspiration, motivation, and just being able, like, coaching, like, business coaching. That's literally, like, what I would say. And then you also share, obviously, the football coaching. And I haven't noticed any philanthropy on there.
Maybe I haven't really. So that one's kind of like a that one is like a double-edged sword to me. You know, I don't want to boast that I'm doing philanthropy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but I also want to raise awareness. So it's kind of, you got to tread really carefully, because you might, you know, touch people the wrong way, and then you lose that viewership or that followership. You know, so right now what I'm doing is I'm trying to take a very specific targeted approach to how I'm gonna get people to be aware of, you know, what I will be doing. But yeah, I don't really talk about, you know, the exact business that I'm in on the post, because it's like you said, you know, success is not dependent on the type of business you have or what industry you're in. It's dependent on you as a person, your habits, you know, the choices you make, and pretty much how you go about your business, right? So, I mean, I could be in the stock market, but if I'm undisciplined, I'm not going to make money. Right. But the same guy who is super disciplined, if he's in the restaurant business, he'll make money. So it's not dependent on the industry. It's dependent on you, because this is a quote I say a lot. Your business is an extension of who you are. You know, it's nothing else. It's just you're pretty much kind of going into the community and you're monetizing yourself. That's all it is.
Just to kind of touch on what you just mentioned is, you said that your business is a reflection and an extension of who you are.
Right.
And I remember when we first met, the first business that you went into for yourself was the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
And then you kind of transitioned and segued into construction.
Yeah.
Right? And a little bit along those lines. And then now, we just talked a little bit before we launched the podcast, you're considering going into the sector of real estate investing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, number one, they're very different industries.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm curious to know, what is kind of your thought process when you're looking at an industry and looking into going into a different business, and how you gauge what you want to go after at that moment?
So the restaurant was – so the three industries have been – they have very distinct motivations. The restaurant industry, when I went into it, it was a very emotional motivation for me. It was more of like a kind of like me going into it because I personally believe food is like the gateway to every culture.
True.
So growing up in America since I was five, I felt very detached from our culture. But my mom had this rule where no matter, you know, how old we were, where we had to know how to cook and clean and fend for ourselves, because she didn't want us to depend on anybody. So she taught us all how to cook from an early age. And as I learned about the food, I learned about the culture. So my dream business was to have a restaurant, an Indian restaurant. And that's what I chased. So it was very emotional. It wasn't really backed by a whole bunch of financial stuff or anything like that, right? The construction has been in my family since 1982. Wow. And just pretty much following in the footsteps of my father. That was more for, you know, a growth. So I decided to take over the construction businesses because I wanted to grow, save cash, make a lot of money quick. And construction is a really good way to do that.
And did you do it?
Yes. Yeah. Thankfully I did. You know, I am very blessed that I had the guidance I had. I had the people that, you know, surrounding me that I had. And we've done really well in the past couple of years. The real estate... The reason why I'm looking at that and I'm planning on entering that industry is the motivation behind that is, what do I want in the future? And in the future, you know, I want to settle down, start a family, and it is the best industry for passive income and growth.
So, okay, so I'm always curious about that, because I know that a lot of people, when they start to make a lot of money, even some people that want to go right into the real estate industry, like with no money, right? Maybe they want to start small, like become an agent and then grow and then learn about investing and then start investing. But a lot of people that begin to make a lot of money, they want to put that money somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like six figures. Let's say someone's making six figures, maybe very high five figures.
Mm-hmm.
They want to start investing into maybe like commercial units or even fourplexes, multi-units, even single-family homes. Now, if you think about it, like when you're investing a large chunk of money and getting such a small return out of it, like let's say someone's making $300 passive income every single month, maybe $500, $600, whatever it is, depending on the type of unit and, you know, property.
Right.
That is a very small amount, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you would have to have multiple properties.
Definitely.
In order to match probably what that person's current income is.
Right.
But it is a good source of passive income. So if you're going right into the real estate industry, kind of what's your goal with that? Because you said you want to start a family, you want to settle down, and you want to be able to invest in real estate to gain passive income. Do you want real estate ultimately to take over your full-time income, or have you thought that far yet?
Yes. So ultimately, I would want it to take over my full-time income. So as you know, I've got the general construction and the plumbing.
Yeah.
You know, if we can put those on cruise control and they can run themselves, I can hire managers and have them run it. I'll have them run it. There's no reason to get rid of them or anything like that. But ultimately, I would want real estate to be the bulk of my income. And real estate, a lot of people, the mistake they make is they go in thinking, you know, they're going to start making, you know, a ton of money right away. And that's not the case. It's just like any other business. The first, you know, 3 to 5 years, you're going to suffer. You're going to have to be very cash heavy and be able to cover a lot of expenses. But real estate is not really a cash flow game. It's more of an equity game, right? So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to get properties that do have good cash flow, that, you know, maybe they're a little distressed. You're going to want to fix them up, get them back to where they are. And then you have, you know, kind of a turning point. You're going to either sell it and you're going to stack up on your cash to get a bigger property, or you're going to keep it and you're going to, you know, pay into it and you're going to develop your equity, right? So those are kind of both on different ends, but then you have your long term, you have your short term, and it's really important to have a balance. So in the beginning, my strategy is I'm going to do a lot of short term stuff, a lot of flips, a lot of, you know, I'm going to look for distressed properties, fix them up. Me being in construction, my cost to fix up these places is going to be about 30% less than a normal investor.
Wow.
So I'm already ahead of the game, right? Then, you know, once I've built enough cash, then not only will I still continue to do the short-term flips, I'm going to start getting into the long-term equity game. So then eventually, it's like when you're investing in the stock market, okay? If you go to an investor, he's going to say, okay, you're 25 years old. You could take a lot more risk. Why don't you do 80% stocks and 20% bonds? As you get older, you'll notice that he's going to shift that for you. So by the time you're like 45, 50, 55, 60, it's going to be 80% bonds, 20% stocks, because your threshold for, you know, ups and downs now are not as high. You got to hold on to as much cash as you can. So it's the same thing. I'm going in and I'm doing a lot more short-term, a lot more risky stuff. But as I'm in it longer, it's going to shift to a lot more equity-based things,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not some magical plan that I came up with. I came up with this plan after talking to about 5 or 6 different people that are actually in Sacramento that have property, hotel, that flip real estate, you know, that are advisors, realtors, brokers. This is all stuff that's known.
Okay. I'm curious, what kind of properties are you looking to invest into?
I started off looking at houses, flipping them and, you know, maybe renting them out. I didn't like it because it just wasn't high enough dollar amounts in the beginning.
Okay.
Then I looked at, you know, the multiplexes, apartment complexes, all those things, but they come with a lot of headache because the property is so complicated. It's so big. You have long-term renters, you have a lot more, there's a lot more exposure to liability. And then I started looking at hotels. And hotels is, I believe, the best of all the, you know, of both of them combined. You have, you know, there's different tiers, so you could target a specific tier that you want. It's a lot more short-term residence. There's people coming in and out, so it's not as much liability. And the cash flow in there is really good. And if you were to find a distressed property and you were able to fix it up a little bit, make it nicer, turn it around, the jump in equity is much higher than there would be in a house or in a multiplex.
What about like an Airbnb?
I looked into those as well, and I think those are good for people who are, you know, people of a certain lifestyle. I would say, like, if you want to have one or two properties, like vacation homes that you would also want to go to when it's not being rented out, but you have a full-time job, I think it's great for them. But if you're a serious hardcore investor where you're looking to build wealth, I don't think Airbnb would be a good long-term investment for you. You have to go, scared money doesn't make money. So you would have to literally go in and make sure that you're actually targeting big fish, you're going after risky properties, you're actually making some, you know, hard decisions. Airbnb is a very safe kind of pulled back investments.
Okay, and by you talking to all these different real estate professionals and all these people that are involved in that industry, yeah, what's the biggest return that you've seen, or like the quickest money maker?
A gentleman bought a property when the market was down. It was a commercial property. It was 40,000 square feet.
Wow.
There was about 10 units in it. And he bought it for $250,000. And it is worth about, I think, like $12 million right now. It was distressed. What? Yeah, it was distressed. There was no residents in it when it was sold. It was actually shut down for some code violations. He put about, I think, like $2.5 million into it. Wow. To, like, get it up and running, get tenants in there, everything, like total investment, marketing, all that stuff. So $3 million investment turned into 12, so that's four times the return.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, he's seasoned. He's a veteran. He has an eye for it. He knew the location was good. He knows the market is down. He can, you know, come in. He had the cash for it. It takes money to make money.
Yeah.
You know, I can't go in and tell you, you know, hey, go buy this property and it'll be worth 12. You got to actually spend money to make it happen.
Yeah, of course. And okay, so clearly that's a huge investment.
Yeah.
But he won in the end. So what about for those people that are maybe like just, they don't have that. They're just getting started. Do you think that real estate is the best way to go, or what would you?
If you can partner with someone, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. If you have like a mentor or a company or somebody who is willing to kind of back you and you know, guide you, it is hands down the best industry to go into. I always tell people there's two things that they're not making anymore: land and time. So, you know what I mean? Don't waste one and get as much of the other as you can. Yeah. So if you do have that option, great. Go into it, dive into it, you know, and chances are you'll be fine. If you're on your own, the barrier of entry is really, it's high. So you would have to start with like homes, like a single family home. Find like a property where, you know, you could do some like quick interior remodeling, bathrooms, kitchen, you know, maybe paint the outside to make it look new, and then flip it. While you're waiting for it to flip, you can rent it out, you know, 6-month leases, and see if it works out for you. You got to be prepared to lose money. And you also have to be prepared to make money. And when I say that, sometimes people get confused, because what will happen is, you know, they'll make this money all of a sudden, and they'll take it for granted, that they'll think that it's going to happen again, it's going to come again. You have to be very, I guess, on an even keel. You can't be temperamental.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready for a lot of curveballs. But honestly, if you have about, I think in this market, like, $50,000 to $100,000 saved. You could buy a distressed property in Sacramento, flip it, lease it out, do whatever you want with it. You don't really need a huge down payment anymore.
Mm-mm. Yeah. No, not at all. So, it's funny that you said find a mentor, someone to partner with, because there was a woman that I actually met. This is kind of how I got introduced to Airbnb rentals.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what do you do? And she was like, oh, like I rent out Airbnbs. I'm like, huh? Like, what do you mean you rent out here? I was like 18 at the time. I didn't know what she was talking about. And I was like, what exactly do you do? And she was like, oh, you know, I rent out these properties. I'm like, doesn't that cost a lot of money? And mm-hmm. She was like, well, what happened was I met a gentleman who's been in real estate for a bulk of his career. And what I did is I kind of pitched him on the idea of Airbnb. he's the one that brought the capital. I brought the expertise.
Yep.
So she took care of all the interior design and everything. She took care of finding the occupants. She took care of the Airbnb posting, like everything. So if someone does have the expertise, or you know, they bring the work ethic to the table, all they would really need is the capital to fund it,
yeah.
and finding the right person to partner with, and you know, they obviously take a percentage. But what you said is exactly right. And did you start in real estate? Like, have you ever done real estate prior to now what you're doing?
No.
Or, okay.
Yeah. We're forming a group of investors right now. There's two of us. What we're doing is we're kind of carefully hand selecting who our other two to three more partners will be. And then we're going to partner up with, hopefully we've met these gentlemen and we got a really good vibe and energy off of them. They have a good reputation within the community, and we would like to partner with them moving forward and on a couple of hotel projects.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're in the very early stages to where we're just talking to people.
Yeah.
You know, we're strategizing. We're thinking about what our best options are. We'll form a group before the end of the year, and then next year we'll start, you know, kind of pooling the money together and then starting to invest it. It's not a overnight process. When you're talking about numbers as big as we are and about hotels, and you look at the barrier of entry in a hotel, anybody that does a 30-minute Google search on how to get into hotels, they're easily going to realize if you don't have anything close to $500,000, you can't play in that game.
Mm.
You know, so anything above that is good. We'll pull the money together and we'll see, you know, we'll partner up with them. They'll mentor us for hopefully 3 to 5 years. And if things are good, we'll stay with them. If not, or even if things are good and we want to branch out on our own, we have our own ideas, we'll go do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the hotel industry is designed in such a way where if you don't have that mentorship, you don't have that guidance, you can make a small mistake that will bring the whole thing down,
mm-hmm.
right? So, yeah, there's not as much liability and exposure as there is in apartments and stuff like that, but you still have to be very careful, and you have to make sure that you're taking the right steps, you're investing in the right properties, because you're not playing, you know, with tens of thousands of dollars anymore. You're playing with 6 figures, 7 figures.
Yeah. So it's, you mentioned mentorship, and like one wrong move can bring the whole thing down. So what are some of the most important things to you when it mm-hmm. comes to building a business? Like some of the most important things that you feel like people need in order to create success in their industry, in their specific business?
I think that a lot of times it comes back to people forgetting to really be self-critical and analyzing if they're ready to have a business. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, if I don't make money, no one's going to write me a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a banker before all of this, right? So I would go in, yeah, in my past life, I'd go in, I'd clock in, I'd work. You know, if I didn't hit my sales figures, I didn't get a commission check, but I still got an hourly pay.
Yeah.
It's not the case anymore. And it's not just that. When you start having employees, when you start expanding, you're literally putting food on the table for families. It's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of pressure. And a lot of times people think they're ready for it, and they're not, because they're just not disciplined enough, right? When I tell people, hey, you got to be up at 4 a.m. every day. And they're like, what? That's ridiculous. Like, I can't. I'd have to go to bed at like 9. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, go to bed at 9. You know, miss the late night show with Jimmy Fallon. I don't care. Like, go to bed on time. Like, you got to be up. You got to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Half of America is already halfway into their day by the time you get up at 8 a.m. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I tell them that, how people react to that, normally I can kind of gauge how serious they are. You know, my father, who's my biggest mentor, has a rule. He says, if you don't make your money in the first 6 hours of your day, then you're fucking up. I'm sorry. Then you're fucking up.
Yeah.
Like he said, that you have the first 6 hours of your day. Make your bread. Anything you do after that is bonus, right?
Yeah.
For those 6 hours, you're laser focused. Nothing's distracting you. Short of a death, you cannot be distracted.
Yeah.
And I live by those words now. Wake up early. Be be focused until you make your money. Then after that, you can do whatever you want. If you want to bail and you want to go hang out, go hang out. If you want to put in extra hours, put in extra hours. But it sounds easy when I'm saying it right now, but when you have to do it 6-7 days a week, people aren't ready.
Yeah.
They're just not. They don't have the discipline.
What does discipline do you look like? So yeah, waking up early, but
yeah.
But when it comes to really honing in and focusing, what about all the things that come into our lives? What about all the struggles or mm-hmm. the distractions? How do you stay disciplined with so many other moving parts?
If your motivation is internal, mm-hmm. I think it'll be very easy for you to stay disciplined. If it's dependent on external things, then it's going to be very easy for you to get distracted. So what I mean by that is my single biggest goal in life, right? Like if I was to tear everything down to the bare, my number one goal in life is to raise a happy and healthy family, right? That's the biggest and most important thing to me. Now, what I look at is how do I accomplish that in like the most, you know, in the purest sense possible? Number one, you have to have a lot of time. How do you get a lot of time? Retire, right? But I can't retire while I'm, you know, 30 or 35. Well, if I work hard enough, I can. And if I make enough sacrifices, I can. So that's why right now I don't have a problem waking up early. I don't have a problem missing birthday parties. I don't have a problem missing dinners. Because I know that if I work hard enough, I could retire at 30, 35. I could focus completely on my family life. What does it take to raise a happy and healthy family? Being a good man so that my moral compass has to be right. My values have to be right. That, you know, we can go on and on. We can set so many goals just based off of that one motivation, right? And that motivation is internal. That's something special to me. That's something that comes from inside. Now, if my motivation is to have, you know, $100 million and bad bitches.
Big booty hoes.
Big booty hoes. You know, that could be, that's a very external thing, right? Like, that could change. That could be affected. If my motivation is to have a nice car, it's external.
Well, let me say this, though. You want to raise a happy, healthy family. My other question was actually, it was going to be towards the end, but I'm going to ask you now. Why did you choose the world of business? You could have been working at the bank still. And like you said, yeah. You want to have time, you want to have freedom. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, okay, so you're building these businesses. The long-term goal is to be able to, you know, retire, have time, do what you want, whenever you want, with who you want. Mm-hmm. Are you still going to want to work once you feel like you've accomplished everything you
thought you would? My dream life is being lived by Bill Gates right now. All he does, really? All he does is go around and like save lives and like impact lives and improve lives. I don't know if you know this, or you know, some of the viewers might know this as well. But I just recently read an article about how many lives he's directly impacted and saved. He's directly saved, I think it's over 6 million lives. Indirectly, it's like some crazy ass number where it's like 60 or 50 million lives that he saved through his money, the vaccinations he's done, the research that he's funded. I mean, this man before he dies might very well save, you know, over 100 million people.
That's insane.
My ideal life is a life of philanthropy, that where I can go and help people, because one of the main things that my parents taught me was if you are in a position to help somebody, it's no longer a choice, right? Now it becomes your responsibility. Now it's a duty. You have to fulfill that as a human being, you know? And so that would be my ideal life. I would do that. But let's say that I can't retire at 30, 35. Why did I choose business? You have to have a legacy that you can pass down, right? I think business is one of the best teaching tools other than sports, right?
Yeah.
It's my two things. Other than sports, business is one of the best teaching tools in raising a human child and teaching them the right core values and principles. Because it takes, like I said, an incredible amount of discipline. You have to be very honest, very hardworking. You have to have a lot of faith in a lot of things. And it teaches you how to build amazing relationships, right?
Yeah.
Like we follow each other, but... And we haven't talked really that much since we first talked. But I still feel like we have a pretty strong relationship in the business entrepreneur world, because as soon as you, you know, message me about that, mm-hmm. There was no doubt in my mind that I would take time out to do this.
Yeah.
Right? Because I genuinely believe in what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish and the message that you're trying to spread. So it teaches you to build relationships like that, which I personally, this isn't, you know, at the end of the day, I realize this is an opinion. I don't feel like I would have that same impact. I would have the same teaching tools for my kids or for my future generations if I just worked a 9-to-5.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all about the impact.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
impact 100%. And being able to make the money to be able to provide help to other people in need.
It's got to be about others.
Yeah.
You know, and this sounds counterintuitive, but the way you make it about others is you have to become very selfish and focus on your one core goal. Mm-hmm. But the way that you can make it about others is that off of that one core goal, you set your secondary goals as, you know, okay, how can I impact the world of those that I love and of the community that I do business in?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you're talking about being selfish, I understand that because you want to be able to build that legacy, make the money to be able to impact other people. But you also mentioned that you're working on a couple of different philanthropy projects right now.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that as well.
One of the things that we're working on is we are doing, so one of them is sports focused. And I'm actually working on that one alone right now.
Okay.
I am trying to create a group, a fund, that will allow underprivileged kids the same access to sports that the, you know, that other kids have.
Like similar to Coach Snoop?
Yes. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
I love that show.
What that man is doing is, and the fact that he's not getting more recognition for it.
Crazy.
Is incredible. And he's doing it in a neighborhood that sees death every single day. And it's crazy. And I'm surprised more people aren't picking up on it. But that's just, you know, media today, right? Yeah. So what we would like to do ultimately is, you know, if parents aren't able to afford, you know, the cost of sports for their children, we would like to provide that to them.
Yeah.
A lot of things come into play. You have to make sure that, you know, you are actually reaching underprivileged kids. It's not just parents, you know, winging it and saying, oh, well, they're going to pay for it. I don't want to pay for it. Something like that, right? And also one of the biggest problems is missing some of the kids. You know, you want to help everybody, but the hard choice would be like, okay, we can only fund this many kids. We have to say no to these kids. So I'm working out the kinks like that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'm working on right now is more specific to like my culture and my upbringing. My father is very much into music and I love music. What we do is we do these singing competitions. And we did one last year. We had like 800 something people show up. It was crazy.
Wow,
it was
great.
I emceed it and I had a great time. I had a great experience. It was super fun. And we raised some money for some good causes. And we're doing it again this year. We're aiming for 1,200 people. And I'll be emceeing it again with a co-host. Hopefully pass the baton to her and she can do it moving forward. Mm-hmm. But the goal of that nonprofit is to preserve our culture through music. Because we are, America is a melting pot, but at the end of the day, we're not home anymore. We are away from home, right? So it's hard for us to hold on to our culture because we have to also be Americans. And so through this competition and through, you know, motivating kids to be involved with Indian music and Indian musical instruments and singing, we hope that they, you know, still hold on to the best parts of their culture, but they combine it with the best parts of being an American.
Mm.
That's one that I'm working on. Another one that I'm working on is pretty much just going to be me, myself, and I. And it's just going to be business coaching for free for people who are trying to start. So what I'll be doing is shout out to all the accountants that gave me advice on tax benefits. I'll be pretty much putting money into a nonprofit. And I'll be using that money. It'll be my own money that I put in. I'll be using that money to kind of make sure that I cover my expenses and any marketing expenses, things like that come up so that I could mentor younger kids who are looking to get into it without them having to pay insane amounts of business coaching fees. I'm so surprised how much some of these business coaches charge.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking like hundreds of dollars an hour. Some of them charge thousands an hour.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm like, why don't you just let these people that are coming to you for advice, let them use that as their capital. Mm-hmm. Like, let them grow their business, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Not everybody thinks the same way, I guess.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah. But everyone has their own little moral compass, right?
Right.
Or, right. I mean, for you, you already have your bread and butter. You have your businesses that you're building.
Yeah.
I feel like the business coaching is just that extra, you know, service.
Right, right. And right now, I'm not monetizing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
But you always can in the future.
I can always. Yeah. Yeah, it'll always be there. But, you know, I don't charge people to, you know, talk to them. I take phone calls all the time. People reach out to me for advice. I'll go and I'll sit and have a cup of coffee for them, you know. And it's not, you know, it's not cheap for me. I actually had one of the accountants that used to do our stuff figure out for me what I'm worth an hour, right? So every hour I spend free with these guys is an hour that I'm not earning that money, or that my businesses are not, you know, getting that benefit. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of really be aware of your value and what you're bringing, mm-hmm. and understand that there's limits to everything, right? I only have a certain amount of time. So how do I maximize that? How do I reach the most amount of people? Social media.
That's very true.
Right?
Yeah, and you're able to give away tons of free value.
Yeah, because I can't sit with, I don't know, I only have like, I think like 700 followers or something right mm-hmm. now. Like, I can't sit with all 700 individually.
Yeah.
But I can share a post that, you know, hundreds of them can see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it might not have the same impact, but it still has an impact.
No, of course. Yeah. And that's the beautiful part about it. So it's crazy because you're doing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Right? You still are running your business.
Yep.
You're going into real estate. You're doing a bunch of different charity projects, mm-hmm. and you're working on those. Why, like, how do you stay focused on all of them at the same time? How do you do that?
Time management is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, but it's very difficult. It took me a long time to get it down. And I honestly, like, I would, before I'd be looking up YouTube videos, like, time management 101. Right?
Yeah. But I used to do it all the time.
Yeah. Like, you know, and I tried a bunch of different methods. And really, I mean, right now, I think what it comes down to is me just doing it for so long that I've just become better at it naturally.
Yeah. I feel like you figure out what works best for you when you test enough things. Because I've done so many different time management, like, strategies mm-hmm. and ways to be able to manage my workload and my different things that I have going on. And finally, I feel like I found like certain things that work for me that keeps me accountable and keeps me going throughout the day.
Absolutely.
So I think that's one of the most important things.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Like I don't use, like, did you ever try PEMDAS?
No.
No.
I feel like I've heard of it though.
No, PEMDAS? Not PEMDAS. PEMDAS is the math thing. Tomato thing. What's the tomato clock called? Pomodoro? Something like that. Anyway, okay. The users can look it up. It's like, it's based on a tomato or something, or like a clock, right?
Interesting.
So you're supposed to work like every, like, I think it's like 25 minutes, you take a break.
Oh,
like a 5-minute break. And then you work another 25 minutes. And 5 minutes. I tried that.
How was it?
It was, you know, it was cool. Like what the, my takeaway from that was make sure that you take consistent breaks.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I don't have it's not a particular method that I use right now. It's just like a mesh of a whole bunch of things.
I will do like timelines, like wake up in the morning, this time to this time for the hour, do my morning routine. Then I'll get ready. Then I'll go and I'll head to Starbucks. That's like where I go to do all my work.
Right.
And then from like, let's say 12 to 4, I'll do this, and that. I need to complete all this within the next 4 hours. Then from 5 to 6, I'll work out. And then from 7 to blah, blah, blah. You know?
Right.
So, I mean, I just by honestly having a list, like, it helps me crazy amount and actually timing it and trying to stay on that timeline.
See, my, with the industry that I'm in, right? It's kind of different. So right now we are in the height of our busy season.
Okay.
So every day, it's literally impossible for me to make a schedule because I wouldn't be able to keep it. So yeah. When I wake up and I start getting my phone calls, it's very fluid. I have to be ready to go to any job site. I have to be ready to take any meeting, or I have to be ready to kind of, you know, troubleshoot any issues that come up. And I have to keep that block clear from 8 to about like 2 o'clock, 3 wow. o'clock, you know. And so, you know, it's very unstructured, but at the same time, it is still structured because there's time blocks set out.
Yeah.
When I'm not in my busy season, when I'm working on getting contracts for busy season, it's very structured. You know, I know that 3-4 hours out of the day, I'm going to focus just on like prospecting, on emails, you know, on writing contracts, stuff like that. And then another 3-4 hours, I might focus on marketing or something yeah. like that, right? So for me, it's more broken up into the time of the year than it is of like time of day or the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, time management, that's one of the biggest things I feel like too, because that goes yeah. into the discipline.
Oh,
that
yeah.
goes into the discipline of actually staying on track of your goals and knowing what you want. Because at the end of the day, like you said, there's a lot of people that say that they want a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But until you finish, stop saying it and actually go plan it and execute on it,
yeah.
it doesn't matter. So I'm thinking of different things all the time, and I'm sure you are. That's how that real estate thing came about.
Yeah.
That's how your charity projects came about. That's how it all happened, is just by you thinking about it, taking the time to plan it out, and actually executing and being able to stay disciplined and consistent enough to go towards it.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I feel like everyone's learned a lot, and they are getting so many different nuggets that can help them along their journey. So what are a couple of things that you would say, like first couple of things that they really need to do in order to execute on whatever they have in their head, whether it be getting involved in real estate, whether it be owning their own business and starting something along those lines, whether it be opening up a brick and mortar type of shop, like whatever it is, opening up their own nonprofit, whatever it may be, what are the first couple of things that they really have to do before they can do what you've done and run a successful business?
I think they should follow what you did. You reached out to people that you thought were doing a good job, right?
Yeah.
So I think that that has to absolutely be the very first step, because what you're talking about is you're talking about, you know, kind of betting that you're going to be happy in this industry. You're going to be happy in this role. It's a big bet.
Shoot, that's the best advice I've heard in a really long time. I did not expect you to say that.
Yeah, so what you did was perfect. You reached out to people, right? And you kind of got real-world advice from people who are already in it.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful. You have to talk to, like, you know, it's like any type of research you do. You got to get a large sample. I don't tell people to reach out to 1 to 2 people. I'm like, yo, double digits, 10 people.
Damn.
Like, go if you want to go into real estate, 2 agents, 2 brokers, 2 investors, you know, whatever it is, 2 property management companies, go talk to all of them, learn everything about it, and then form your opinion on whether you think this is right for you or not.
Yeah, and based on what you are really looking to get out of that specific thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking to make a lot of money quickly from real estate, it may not be the best fit, you know, depending. And if you're someone that literally doesn't make that much money, it may be a little bit harder. But you don't make a lot of money, but you're trying to make a lot of money quick, can be a rough
sector and to jump into. And you end up in a long-term industry.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be what the shit, right?
What
Like, what am I doing?
There we go. That's exactly right.
And, you know, I mean, I'm preaching this because I practiced it. Like, I thought the restaurant industry, I thought owning a restaurant would be a certain way. You know, I was like, yo, this is going to be glamorous. You know, like, I'm going to be making, like, all these dishes that I want to make. You know, customers are going to be happy, this and that.
Yeah.
When I realized how much just day-to-day, like, you know, like, back-end business stuff there was, I was super turned off by it.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't do nearly enough research to where, you know, I would have learned about it.
Yeah.
You know, I only talked to, like, 2 or 3 people instead of 10 people.
Yeah.
And I only talked to people who loved the restaurant industry for what it was, not what they thought it was going to be. And so I thought it was going to be a certain way, and it wasn't. It was the best learning experience of my life. And actually, if I hadn't done it, I wouldn't have had the turning points that I've had. It was like, we met February of 2018, right?
Yeah.
Like January 2017, right around there, December, January 2017, like February. That 3-month period, a lot of changes happened in my life. A lot of stuff that I went through where I made a lot of changes within those 90 days. I made more changes than I did within the first 24, 25 years of my life, right? And ever since then, 3 main things have happened. Number one, I've become selfish in the sense where I'm focused 100% on my goals.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I have learned about balance in life. So it hasn't been all work anymore. There's been a lot of balance of, you know, like, hey, go see the world, travel, hang out with family, hang out with friends, you know, go on dates, meet people, like all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Whereas before it was just like
work.
Fucking Rihanna song. Like I was just working all the time. And the third thing that happened, and I think is one of the best things, and this is gonna sound hella sappy, but like I learned to fall in love with myself first, like as a person, right?
Yeah.
I think that's important for everybody. Like you have to learn about yourself as much as you can and as quickly as you can so that, you know, you can kind of give that to the world.
Yeah.
And I thought I was giving myself to the world, but I wasn't. I was giving what I thought the world wanted or like what I wanted to give them. But once I really started learning about myself, like my nuances, you know, my morals, my values, the good things about myself and the bad, you got to be very honest, right? I realized how much I have to offer. And now, you know, my self-value is like up here, whereas Love before it was like right here. So those three changes in this past couple of years have given me like a sense of happiness, a sense of life that I really didn't. I didn't even know I was missing, but now I can't imagine my life without it, right? And if you bring that into business, I can. There's not really a lot of guarantees in life except for death and taxes, but I can guarantee you success.
Yeah.
If you focus on yourself first, like that has to be the number one thing. Anything you do, you'll eventually find success.
I agree.
No.
Awesome.
And you, I mean, you're only 21, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts. Yeah. I would have never been having this conversation at 21.
Really?
Yeah, even though I was like weird, I was like a weird child. You know, I was watching stock market trends.
You were different than most.
Yeah, at like 16, you know what I mean? But like even then I would not be doing what you're doing. That's why, you know, I was so proud to see that you're actually doing this and you know, sending the message out there because we have these platforms that we got to maximize.
Absolutely. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. No, I got a ton of value. And go ahead and tell these people where they can find you.
Oh, everywhere.
Okay.
So my social media, it's all the same. It's at Prashant J. Singh. If you would like to reach out to me directly, honestly, the social media platform is the best way. So it's spelled at Prashant J and then Singh, Singh. And yeah, feel free to reach out to me. And one PSA that I'll do is actually, if you're going to, you know, if you're watching this and you want to support, take real actions of support. Don't just watch this podcast and be like, oh, that was cool. You know what I mean? Like her channel, subscribe to her channel, comment, go follow the social media, share it with people. Like it doesn't take that long to copy a link and send it in a text message.
Yeah.
So take real actions of support. And yeah, let's build each other up.
Go deeper. Because at the end of the day, you never know who could be needing to hear something like this. Someone that you care about, someone that you love. Maybe you could be telling one of your friends, oh man, you got to execute on this business. You got to do this, you got to do that. But maybe since you're telling the friend that, they're not doing it. So it's maybe if they hear it from someone else, like Prashant or myself or any other entrepreneur that we have on the podcast, maybe they actually will. So you never know who you can help and who you can impact by sharing a podcast.
Absolutely.
But thank you again for coming on, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
Awesome.